listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 244. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we're going to be talking tonight about the first place Toronto Maple Leafs, first place in the Atlantic Division, ladies and gentlemen.
How about that, man?
How about that?
We haven't been on in a little while. There's been three games that's happened since we've been on here. Do you want to do the merch, though, before we get going?
Right, yeah. So, again, we have a merch store. The link is in the description on the podcast and in the YouTube. If you just look in the description, there'll be a Shopify link. If you want to get some Tip-In merch, it's only open before Christmas, and then she's closing down. To anyone who's ordered already, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Some good-looking stuff.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, so check the link in the description. Go get your merch for Christmas. Hit it up. Dude, I don't know. Anything off the top? Or you want to go 5-1 loss to the Panthers. Obviously, we're not going to go back that deep. A 5-3 win over Tampa and then a 4-1 win over the Blackhawks. Shout out. Last night. We're recording this Tuesday night, December 3rd. Do you want to how far do you want to go back? Is there anything off the top you want to say? Or what do you want to do?
No, you take it wherever you want to go, man.
Okay, well, Nyes and Matthews return on the weekend. Matthews buried one last night against the Hawks. Nyes kind of picked up right where he left off. What do you think of their play since returning, both those guys? I guess maybe in particular Austin, but both.
Yeah. Matthews, I thought his first game back looked exactly how I thought it would look. Just a little off with his timing, a little bit off. But against the Blackhawks, he looked a lot better. Yeah. He got it up for the Blackhawks.
Who doesn't?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was ready to go. Nyes kind of looked the same. He had a nice tip. Man, I mean, you have a nice tip like that, and that's good in my books every day of the week.
We're going to hit it. I was going to surprise you with it, but we can't. There's been so few. We got to just do it
right out of the gate. We're going to do just the tip. Right. All right, everybody, get ready. It's time for just the tip.
Perhaps play a little game called just the tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels.
How about we play a little game now, just the tip.
So here on the Tip-In Maple Leafs podcast, anytime someone scores a nice tip-in goal, we love tip-ins. It's what we do. It's basically how we were raised.
Yeah.
Like when we were growing up, our coach would sit us in front of the net and he would just slap pucks at us. And we would just tip one after the other, after the other, after the other. Turns out he wasn't even our coach. We thought he was our coach for 3 months. Just turned out to be some guy that was there.
Dude, the best play in all of professional sports, the tip-in. Matthew Nyes, his first game back, this was in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Chris Tanev. What a combination here. Chris Tanev from the point. Let's her rip. Matthew Nyes, a lickety-split tip. He said, nope, watch this. Boom, boom, bing, bang, boom, in the back of the net. Now,
beautiful. That was,
listen, we're running dry this season. We are running dry. Usually Tavares is popping in tip-ins left and right. Somebody else is doing it. This is only the second one. We're a quarter of the way through the season, into the season. This is only the second tip-in we've had all year. And I believe the first one was Matthew Nyes. He's got them both.
I'm okay with that.
Holy smokes, man. So anyway, just great tip. Great to see that he, he's really putting the puck in the back of the net, eh?
He is.
Wild to see where this guy's, how far he's come in such a short period of time. Is it not crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's not that crazy. Like, think about how he came into the league. Like, when he came in, he looked like the
meatloaf, baby. Meatloaf.
Yeah,
he came in out of hell.
And he came in and he was the best left winger on the team right away. And then he took the head injury in the playoffs, the first cut in. Last season, he had a really nice year. And it is surprising that he's bearing it so much, but not really, if that makes any sense.
I guess
I see the ceiling is high on this boy.
Oh, huge, man. I guess the difference for me this year compared to last year is that he's playing higher up the lineup with better players. He's not stuck on the third line playing with whoever, pick your fucking choice, who doesn't score on the third line. More on that later.
Yeah, he's getting way more ice time.
Yeah, he's in a top six position all season long. He's getting more ice time, better players. So yeah, he's making the most of it, man. He's been the most impressive forward. Like, other than outside of the big guys, like Mitch and Willie and JT have been incredible, especially when Austin's been out here. He's been the next best guy, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Like, I don't think there's anybody even close, right? So anyway, just the tip. Great to see. Yeah, but Matthews, I mean, it's going to take time, right? Like, it's going to take time. Nye's only missed like two games. Matthews missed like a fucking month.
Yeah, but the Blackhawks game, I thought he looked really good. He was ripping it. He was all over the puck all night. The Tampa game, he just looked a step behind a little bit. It won't take him long. He got one in the Blackhawks game. You can just feel it. He looks healthy. He's going to start ripping it real soon.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I don't know. Like, I didn't think I liked their, obviously I didn't like their game against Florida Panthers, but they were missing like half the team, like Mitch said. So what did you, they were kind of due for a loss, and Florida all of a sudden is coming on.
Bobby McMahon went out and you were down eight of your regulars.
Yeah. And then I thought they played really well against Tampa, and the Blackhawks game, I don't know. Like, I thought at times they were good, at times I don't think it was the least best game. Chicago fucking sucks, man. Like, that's the truth. The Blackhawks are a bad hockey team. Decent effort, but they're just not fucking, like, it's basically Bedard and nothing else. Like, they don't have anything on that fucking team. Like, no. Okay, Taylor Hall, like, they got a bunch of has-beens. Foligno, Taylor Hall, like, Patty Maroon. Like, what are these guys doing? What are they doing?
Yeah. Bertuzzi.
Bertuzzi. Mid.
No.
Mid.
Yeah, the Blackhawks aren't very good. It was a weird game, but it felt like the Leafs were doing that thing where they play down to their opponent, but then they would show bursts of like dominating the game, and then they would go back to just playing Chicago style hockey up and down. But they got the win, and that's all that matters. I did see the blueprint thing where Berube came in the room, and he's like, basically said, you know, we got the win, good job, but we're gonna talk about this later. We're gonna talk about this game later.
I didn't see that.
He just kind of subtly said it, like there were some things they need to talk about the game, but let's just enjoy the win right now.
Anyway, so yeah, like there's not a lot of things to break down here. There's one main thing that I want to get into, which will be goaltending. But first, I'll talk about this. Mitch Marner played in his 600th career game.
Did.
Against the Hawks on Monday night. And like, can you believe that? I remember watching his first fucking game. You remember, you know what the first game was?
I don't remember.
It was the... As soon as I say it, they all came in at the same time, him and Mitch and Willie. It was the Austin Matthews four goal.
Was that Mitch's first game?
Yeah, 100%. It was all their first games. Okay. So, or I think Nylander might have played a couple games the year before, but yeah, Mitch and Austin for sure came in at the same time. So think that, like, that seems like fucking yesterday now, but it was like fucking 8 years ago, right? It's crazy. But 600 games. Holy fuck. Where does the time go? Like, that's crazy. I couldn't believe it when I saw, holy fuck, he's already at 600 games. Like, just seems like crazy. It just seems crazy.
It does seem crazy. I even think, like, when they talk about Crosby and Ovechkin, and they show them and they're pushing 40 and everything they've done in their career, and they go back and show highlights, and it's like standard definition television.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it has the black bars on the side because it's not even HD. I'm like, holy fuck. I remember when they were like the hot rookies, the battle between Ovi and Sid for rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And now they're like the wily veterans on their way out.
Almost 20 years ago. Can you believe that?
And then Mitch and Austin, they're coming into their prime now. They're not rookies anymore. This is it. This is like their prime years. Crazy, man.
It is crazy, man. So look, I guess not a lot to get to tonight. Two main topics, I guess, we'll probably spend the majority of this podcast on. The first one being the goaltending, man. Like, the whole story here, just to back up on Mitch for a second.
Yep.
Just shout out Mitch Marner. He's been incredible. Like, the team kind of slow start, just finding their way, whatever. But when Matthews went down, Mitch stepped up huge, and he has not taken his foot off the gas since. Shout out to Mitch Marner. I just think he's been fucking awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Best player on the team this season.
Without a doubt. Anyway,
next to the goalies.
Yeah. So the goaltending, like, I think it's just the real story here is Stolarz, and Wall. Doesn't seem to matter who's in fucking net. I know Stolarz, tough loss against his former team in Florida, but dude, both of these guys, they were saying today that the best save percentage in the Eastern Conference, Toronto Maple Leafs. When the fuck Have you ever heard that? Like, have you ever heard that in your life? I don't think I have.
No, I can't say that I have.
The best save percentage in the East, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Think about that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, then, and they said on the Amazon Prime broadcast, I think it was like least amount of goals given up in November was the Leafs. Now, they probably played less games than everybody else because they seemed to not play at all. But still, like defense and goaltending, top of the league, the Leafs?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What are we talking about here?
I know. What are we talking Leafs? About here, right? It is crazy, man. But like, do you, where do you think this goalie tandem is at, Chad? Do you think this is like, as far as just in the league currently, like 1A, 1B, or just however you want to say it or whatever, like, where do you think, are they the best? Is this the best goalie tandem in the NHL today? Can you think of one better? Like,
not,
I mean,
not tandem.
The way they're playing, the tandem, like last year, obviously in Boston, Swayman and Allmark fucking killed it, right?
Yeah.
But now, like, one goes to Ottawa and he's just eh, and Swayman stays, signs a big deal, and he's just eh. Like, it seemed to be a lot better when those two were together.
Yeah.
No matter who you put in net, they were getting fucking wins, similar like what we've got going here now. So I don't know, man. Like, think of a 1-2 punch where it's like, doesn't matter who you put in there, you're totally confident that you're going to get solid fucking goaltending. Like, you've got your Bobrovskis and Vasilevsky and Hellebuck and Markstrom. Like, there's good, like, maybe Markstrom and Allen in Jersey. Like, that's a pretty good combo, too. But I think the Leafs are right up there, man, which is absolutely crazy to say. Both guys, like, yeah, crazy.
And not just both guys, man, but, like, down in the Marlies, Murray, Hildeby, and what's the other kid's name? Yeah, Art Matt starts, Murray.
I know.
I can't.
Starts with an A. Askarov or something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
Atimanov? Atimov? Something like that. Something I can't like even that. Pronounce it.
Yeah, but he, anyway, they, yeah, they've been killing
he's him. Airing it up. There. So you have five goalies in the system now.
Yeah.
Two on the Leafs and three in the Marlies that are all like over 900 save percentage and giving you solid goal. When it, mind blowing.
Do not pull a John Ferguson Jr. here, Tree. Do not do it. Because we need the depth, man. You never know what's going to happen if Stolarz goes down or if Wall goes down.
Are you talking about the Raycroft and Rask?
Yeah, I'm talking about Raycroft and Rask. Like, well, more I'm talking Poggi and Rask, really. Where, like, they had these two blue chip guys, and then one of them never ended up, the one they kept never even ended up playing in the fucking NHL, and the one they dealt had a fucking a Hall of Fame career. So go fucking figure there, right? Fergie. Yeah. But do you remember this? I don't know if they were saying this on Overdrive or who, someone was saying it, that like the GM, I think it was Peter Chiarelli at the time, I think was GM in Boston. Or no. That, what? I don't know. I can't.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay, maybe it was. Anyway, I guess like they asked him like, Poggi or Rask, which one do you want? Did you hear this? Like the Leafs asked him, which one do you want? He said Rask, and they said, okay. Instead of saying, okay, we'll give you Poggi.
Yeah, that's always been the rumor going around, like, about John Ferguson Jr. Is he basically let him pick instead of going to his scouts, not just picking the one that Trelly, but go to your scouts and say, which one should we keep?
Oh,
because God. I guarantee you they would have said Rask.
But I would have kept them both. What was the fucking rush?
Like, no. But if you were going to trade one, like, obviously Poggi would have been the one to trade.
Of course.
But he's like, who do you want? All right.
And I also heard that they were going to put Waycroft on waivers. Did I say Waycroft? They were going to put Raycroft on waivers. They could have at least grabbed him for nothing. I hate that trade. I hate everything about it. But you brought up the two kids on the Marlies. So the Beast and Yeah,
it's not just Sunshine and the Leafs. It's Sunshine and the Marlies. It's like five goalies, all healthy, knock on wood.
Yeah.
All healthy and all playing well right now.
So,
like, last year at this time, we had one goalie who had lost his mind and was going on waivers with Samsonov. Yeah. Wall couldn't stay healthy. Matt Murray couldn't stay healthy. Like, we were scrambling in net, and now it's so solid back there. So
it's crazy,
solid.
Man.
And Stolarz is like, what a nice surprise. We knew what Wall could be, but did you know Anthony Stolarz was this good?
Not even close, man.
Did not know.
close. Not even close. No, he's been incredible. Incredible. But yeah, but keep the kids on the Marlies, because like we're going to need, like, don't go trading away a potential Tuukka Rask here, boys. Let's.
I don't think Tree will do that.
Keep them all in house, because you never know which one, or down the road, maybe you're able to flip one of them for something really good. Like, who knows? But just we'll see. Keep all the goaltending prospects, because it's just we haven't had that homegrown. Like
Tree Living seems to love goalies and Big D. So I don't see any of that going away.
No. No, man. And how do you think Pittsburgh's coming in on the weekend? We got a back to back against Washington and Pittsburgh. So our old buddy Dubas coming to town. Yeah. What do you think he is like doing down there in Pittsburgh, man? Do you think he like look at the situation where he kind of Shanny didn't want to fire Dubas. She contract extension on the table. Dubas overplayed his hand and was like, well, I kind of want your job.
That's a risky move. That's a risky move.
So Shanny's like, no, bud, you're out of here. Like, no, pass, hard pass. So so obviously Dubas had the Pittsburgh thing in his back pocket, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, so, but like, can you imagine going from like, and I don't know, like, where would the Leafs be at right now if Dubas would have stayed instead of like, look what Tree Living's done in such a short amount of time, like filling holes that needed to be built. I don't know if Dubas would have been able to do that, because look what he's done in Pittsburgh. Brutal.
Yeah, the craziest part about I have no idea what he would have done in Toronto. Like, literally, I have no idea if the team would. It would probably, my guess would be it would be worse than it is now, because he probably would have went down some sort of Tree's just doing the old fashioned thing. Let's get solid goaltending, solid defense, and a structured coach, and we'll try to win. Dubas was always trying different things, but the best part about it is he went to Pittsburgh, and do you remember he put on the big show? He's like, going to look the whole world over for a general manager. Got to find one. And he was
you're looking at him.
He was interviewing everybody. He's like interviewing people from like the KHL. He's interviewing people from the AHL, former general managers. Then he steps to the podium and he's like, it's got to be me.
Of course.
Can be no one else but me.
Of course, man.
That's crazy. Imagine doing that.
I can see. Yeah.
Imagine have all the power and you're like, I'm the only guy for the job.
Dude, it's in a way like Tree Living kind of is taking a page out of Dubas's book. Like, remember like, the Sioux Greyhounds, Dubas would always go to like the guys that he like the Buntings and like the guys that he knew from the Sioux. And like, here we are now with Tree in town. And he's like, everybody he brought in pretty much, he's got some type of connection with. Like, he had a connection with Domi when Domi used to play for Arizona. He's had a connection with Tana and a connection with Ekman Larson. And like, these are Tree's guys, right? So yep. it is kind of the same thing. It's just different style players.
Well, and it's NHL players.
Well, yeah.
He's not like, oh, hey, did you pass through Sault Ste. Marie when you were 17? Hey, hop on the wagon. You're on my team now. At least has ties with NHL players he's seen playing NHL games.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Dubas went to Pittsburgh. He brought Bunting with him. He signed Achari. So like, there's a couple of former Leafs kicking around there too. But anyway, whatever. But yeah, so anything more on the goaltending? I got something else too, but on the goaltending? Like, do you think that they are the best tandem in the league? Like I said, they have the best save percentage in the East, but I think that they're kind of a clear cut the best tandem in the league. Like, Wall has come in and just looked like he's been great. They've both been fucking great, man.
Yeah, they are, in my mind, they're probably the best, if not definitely one of the best tandems in the league. But the only thing is like, and what a problem to have is I never know, like, before you'd be like, oh, absolutely, this so-and-so's got to start this game. Like, Boston's coming to town, we got to start this guy. I never know who to start.
I would keep like, it just rotating.
Just keep going rotating?
Like they did in Boston last
year. Okay, but let's say you have this time off and like you have Pittsburgh coming in who sucks, and then you have like Winnipeg coming in who's first in the league. Do you think they balance those starts and they say, well, Wall should get the Winnipeg game, he's playing better? Or do you think they're just like rotator through? They're both great.
Okay. Like, I don't think it's at a scenario where like win and you're in. I don't think we're there yet. I think both guys are playing so well that you want to keep them playing. Yeah. Like,
So you think this is a rotating number one? There's no clear cut guy.
That's what I would do at this point, just because they're both playing so well. If you're playing four games a week, you're both playing two. If you're playing three games, well.
And what a great thing for Joseph Woll, who has injury troubles, right? To kind of take a load off. That's what she said. And then Stolarz, who's never really been a starter, he gets a little load taken off.
I don't think he's played more than 30 games ever. So, season.
Neither's Joseph Woll.
No. So they're both trending to both do that this year. So
that's great.
I hope so, man. It'll be great. We'll see. But yeah,
we only got 3 weeks. You said that we would see Matt Murray by Christmas.
Yeah, we got to December 3rd today, 20 days and counting till the
I hope not.
Christmas break. So do we see Murdaugh before Christmas? It's still possible. It is 100% possible. They play
You don't want it to happen.
They play a lot of games in December, a lot of hockey games. So
that's true. Yeah. No, even just a little pull groin, you could miss two games.
Yeah. And like Murray's just a shot away from pulling his groin too. So you never know what's going to happen there. Right. But do you think that they could potentially trade Matt Murray? Like, would there be a team out there that would, no, I'm being serious. Like, would there be a team out there that would be like, okay, here's an experienced guy. He's been playing well. He hasn't got an injury. Like, he had both his fucking hips replaced, I think.
I mean, I think he should retire a Penguin.
Fuck. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? There'd be no point for Pittsburgh to get him because they don't have a fucking shot at doing anything. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm just saying, if I know one GM who might take a shot on him or shot at him, it's got to
be let's say if Demko can't get back and play, like, is Vancouver going to go with Shelovs and fucking what's the other guy's name? Lekkonen?
You know what? Yeah, when you put it that way, if he stays healthy and keeps playing down in the Marlies, why wouldn't you take a chance on him for a playoff run?
I mean, if your main guy can't go, is what I'm saying.
That's like, if you have injury problems and you have like two young guys who aren't proven, you bring him. What's the worst that can happen? I'm sure you can get him for cheap off the Leafs.
Oh, dirt cheap. We'll see.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be crazy. Okay. Anyway, goaltending. Let us know what you think in the comments, guys. Like, is Murray going to make an appearance here or what? And let us know. Stolarz, should they be split in games? Should one of them be like, do you see a clear-cut starter? I see it as it's a tandem. They're both rock stars and whatever. Speaking of rock stars, how about these two little fuckers out of nowhere? Frazier Minton and Grabankin. I'm going to give you my hot take here. Not even that hot of a take. It's just the right fucking take. And then you let me know what your thoughts are. These kids should be sticking around. These two in particular, I'm talking about Minton and Grabankin. These two guys can help this team win now. Like, look at how well they played. Grabankin driving the fuck in front of the net, fearless. Nothing gets to this guy. This guy looks like he's been around for fucking years. He just blends in seamlessly and actually adds a layer that they don't have. So yeah. I love this Grabankin guy. And Minton has more goals in four fucking games than Domi, Holmberg, and Robertson combined all season. So what are we fucking talking about here? I don't care if you're hurting somebody's feelings by putting them on waivers, sitting them in the fucking press box. Frazier Minton and Nikita Grabankin, in my fucking opinion, deserve a spot on this fucking hockey team going forward when everybody is healthy and comes back. There's a take. What do you think?
I think you're bang on. And I think that the coach behind the bench shares your feelings for those players. Absolutely. 100%. The way he talks about Frazier Minton, the way Frazier Minton's played that is exactly on this podcast. We complained about that third line and the third line center all fucking year until Minton came up. He's exactly what they've been looking for. Exactly what you're looking for. He's sound defensively, great two-way, can pop in a goal here or there. He's so smart on the ice. Yeah. I know he's the only one that's waiver exempt, but like you say, well, then somebody's going on waivers because you can't send Frazier Minton down. And Grabankin looks like a 70s porn star on skates.
Unbelievable.
The flow, the teeth, the smile, just out there banging everybody. Yeah. I love this kid. Have you seen that he just leaves the arena like out the door?
Walks and hangs out front and hangs out with the fans.
Yeah. There's like There's hundreds of videos of people just like, oh my God, there's Gribbangan. And he like parks.
He's like high fiving and hugging fucking fans out front by the statues roll there.
Yeah, he doesn't leave through the parking garage or underground or anything.
No,
he parks his car in the municipal parking lot across the street and just heads out the front door, and he's just like taking photos and talking to all the fans. He's just loving it.
He leaves the entrance that's going down like Bremner towards like the tower and the dome.
He goes by the statues there. Maybe he has a condo there. Maybe he's not.
I don't think there's parking down there. So I think he's probably
it's around the corner.
Okay. He probably just lives close and he's just walking. He's probably just walking to his condo or whatever. But
I don't know. It just seems like most Maple Leafs, just to avoid the attention.
You probably
drive down, or I know you can go underground to some of the. Oh,
most of them drive under. Most there's underground parking at the Scotiabank Arena, right?
Yeah, like, that's, and even how they all come in and out. You can take pathways to the condos if you live close by. There's ways to not just walk out the front door.
Of course.
I'm just loving it. And it doesn't matter. He just high five, stands and talks to anybody, like a couple drunks on the street, just has a good 5-minute convo with them.
He's like, there's videos of him online. Like, he's just fucking hanging out. He's just
everywhere,
like hanging out
everywhere,
shooting the shit. Like,
and everybody's getting him to say, everybody's like, say back check, paycheck, forecheck. And he just says it and then laughs.
Here's a guy who just gets it, man. Like, he's getting a taste of the league for the first time. He's getting a taste of the fan base for the first time. And he's just like, I would feel the same way, man. I would be like, you wouldn't be able to get the smile off my face. It'd be like, here I am, I'm playing for the fucking Leafs. Like, this is incredible.
Enjoying it, man. And I love that he's playing into it. Like, he understands that he understands he could be a fan favorite just by having fun with the fans. Toronto loved.
Yeah.
Who was the Blue Jays pitch, the Japanese guy in the Blue Jays?
Oh, Kawasaki.
Remember how much Jays fans loved him? Because he just was himself. He would hang out with fans. He would say the funny shit in the dressing room. It's kind of like what Gribbangan is.
When they won in the playoffs, he says, Bush party tonight. Do you remember that?
I do. Did they have a quote about banana?
Yeah.
Having bananas and stuff.
Because he would always get cramps. And like, if he was getting cramps, he's like, oh, I forgot my bananas today. But reporter Hazel May would ask him, how many bananas today? He says, 2 bananas today. But I just remember in the playoffs when they won,
Bush party tonight.
Bush party tonight. So I love that. I miss that guy, man. I don't know if he's still playing in the league or what.
But that's what Gribbangan reminds me of. He's got this personality, and he's not afraid to be himself, and he's not afraid to he doesn't strike me as a guy who thinks he's better than the fans. Like, he's out there hanging out with them, having a great time. No. I love it. He's going to be a fan favorite. Huge.
He plays so fucking hard, and sure, there's going to be learning mistakes, and same with Minton, there's going to be mistakes, but they both seem very smart. And I love the way Gribbangan drives the net, and Minton, we already knew Minton was just going to be like, he's such a smart fucking player. He can get
last year and the year
before. Of course, man. He can get by just on his hockey. He's not dumb. He thinks the game fucking at a high level. So, and you're right. Berube's comments about especially Minton, but Gribbangan too, loves these two kids.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Like, Camp, Reeves, Holmberg, Robertson, Domi. Like, I'm probably
you don't bring what they bring. Like, everybody plays a role on the team. I was going to say
combined for, okay, Robertson has 2 goals. The rest of those guys is not one.
Yeah.
Not one fucking goal.
Well, like, okay, Robertson should top that because that's what he's asked to do, is score goals. But everybody, Brube said this in the summer, like talking about the core four, and he's like, everybody plays a role on the team, and the old cliche, everyone has a role. You know your role. You do it well. Minton has a role on this team. Gribbangan has a role on this team. Those guys you just named, I don't know what their role is.
Me neither. They're just
guys.
What's
Holmberg's role on this team? What's Robertson's role on this team?
They're just fucking guys, man.
Yeah.
They're just guys. Like,
so, yeah, I'm 100% on board with keeping those two. And somebody's going to have to go on waivers. But,
like, I get Domi's going to get back in the lineup when he comes back. So, okay. I'm sorry. Like, I'm losing my mind last night. Matthews with Nylander and Nyes, no problem. But I'm watching Tabarez and Mitch play with Holmberg. I'm like, what the fuck? Your best option on your
arguably top line or second line is Pontus Holmberg. That's your best fucking option there.
And did you see how many times the play died on his stick?
Dude, like, he just does not have it this year. Like, he's average great. At best. He's average great. At best.
No, he's great defensively. Like, I see what Brube likes in, like, his defensive game or whatever. But it's not. Once you cross the red line, he's the worst player on the ice.
No, for sure, man.
So why is he on the second line?
Like, I would say, like, when Pacioretty gets back, depending on, obviously McMahon blew his fucking, we didn't even talk about this. McMahon blew his groin right off his fucking body. Obviously, he couldn't even fucking put his skate on the ice. Couldn't even put any weight on it. So he has a history of blowing out fucking knees or groins. Groins, more likely. So I did you hear any update on him time frame wise or no?
Nothing.
Day to day, week to week, or they just didn't say anything.
He's on IR.
Okay, so
he's got to be at least a week.
He has a history of always getting fucking hurt too during the season. So hopefully he'll be back. But let's just say he misses a significant amount of time. Let's say Pacioretty's getting ready to go. Let's say Domi's getting ready to go. Would you put Pacioretty with Mitch and JT? And potentially you keep Minton and Grubankin together on the third line. You put Domi with them or something like that. And then however you want to do the third or the fourth line, like, there's too many bodies. Holmberg, Camp, Robertson, like, somebody.
Well, like you say, if they're going to keep these kids, somebody's feelings going to get hurt.
Do you think they will?
Somebody's going to put on waivers. Something's going to happen.
Okay. Like, I would keep Minton and Grubankin. They look like they belong to me. Do you think they will? Or you think it's just the easy move? They go back to the Marlies, and here comes Camp and Holmberg, and we're going to just have nothing from our bottom six.
I don't think you can do that. Like, I think that they've filled, especially Fraser Mitton. People were talking about trading for a third line center. You have one. You don't have to give up anything. He's right there.
Yeah.
Like, he just, what, and Grubankin too. Like, Grubankin, he's just found a role on the team. The coach seems comfortable using him. He gives you a dynamic that they don't have in any other player. Like, Dewar, Robertson, these guys, they're kind of a dime a dozen right now. Like, they're not really giving you anything. They try hard and they skate or whatever, but Grubankin just has a dynamic that they don't have that I like on this team. So, I don't know. And this isn't Dubas. This is Tree and Berube. And to me, I feel like they would lean more to Minton and.
Well, and what's best for the fucking team? How about do that? It's not about individual. You might hurt somebody's ego, but what is the best move for the fucking team? So I hope that is what they do. Not just the easy move. Well, we can send Minton down, even though he's been playing the best hockey way better than most of these other guys. But let's send him down. Yeah. I hope that's not what they do here.
It could be too, like, contracts and stuff like that might come into play because you're paying David Kampf all this money.
Send somebody to Robita Island, baby, because we're going to have a bush
Yarncroc's already there. Bush party tonight.
On Robita Island. But no, I don't know. We'll see what happens here. But here's something exciting. Like, just think about this. Just however the contracts work out this summer with Mitch and JT, if they're coming back, whatever. Think about this next year. I know I'm jumping to the gun here, but think about this third line next year. Minton, Grubankin, and Easton fucking Cowan on the other side. How's that for a third line?
That's a bush party.
Oh, big time, big time. I get excited. I get excited thinking about that one. Anyway, man.
That's awesome.
I don't know. We'll see what happens here, but yeah, that's it for tonight, I guess.
All right. Listen, everybody, thanks for joining us on this show. We will have more shows coming. The last couple of weeks there were, like, no games, so we haven't done a lot of podcasts, but December is railed. It is tied up against it with games. They are every night. They're everywhere. So we'll have more episodes for you. And before we go, don't forget that our merch store is open, and you can check it out in the description below. There'll be a Shopify link on the YouTube video in the description and in the podcast description, so you can click on that and get some tip-in merch. The store will be open for a couple more weeks. And then it'll be closed down. You can follow us on social media at the Tippin Maple Leafs Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. While you're on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, and leave a comment. Let us know how you're feeling or what you think about the episode or just your thoughts of the Leafs in general. Do you think Minton and Grubankin should stay on this team? Let us know in the comments below. And you can email us, tippinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we will
struggling Nashville Predators come to town Wednesday night and a back-to-back on the weekend against Washington and Little Doobie and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Should be very interesting. We'll be back to break it all down. But first, Bush Potty Tonight. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.